this week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
It's like a game or something.
Well, almost like a game. Yeah.
Like a game. Skid.
In a game of life and death.
I don't think we're all making it out of here alive. That's my guess.
Yeah, I would say probably not.
A risky gambit.
So, yeah, you guys want to split the party a little bit?
We'll put lives on the line.
I'll say, keep your fucking mouth shut or we're all dead.
But Baron will never lose hope.
You go back to Shinnaman's fortune and you tell them that the light of Yomadai, the sheriff of True Now, the specter of death, and a warrior from another world send hope.
I need to write that down.
The adventure continues now.
What's going on, everybody? Troy Lavallee here. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all our GCP listeners all around the globe. We have a very special Christmas episode this week. Well, that's not really true. It's just an episode, and it happens to occur during the week of Christmas. But I believe it does involve some mistletoe. I'm sure that's a spell component.
In perhaps one of Della's mega spells.
Anyways, I want to give a couple shout-outs this week. First of all, to April Westerveld, who sent us a huge package full of craft beer from the beautiful city of Portland, Oregon. I mean, this box had to be 50 pounds full, and I am still considering sharing it with the rest of the guys. Thank you, April. That was insanely generous of you, and it's keeping me well-lit over the holiday season. I also want to give a big shout-out to Clara Lee, who sent us these homemade little dolls. They're like those pop dolls, but these are hand-sewn dolls of all the GCP characters. So there's a Gormley, there's a Della, there's a Howie the Greenstick Scorpion, a Baron, a Galabras, and a Lork. I mean, there's everything. I even got a Troy Lavallee one. Or Tom Exposition. We're not 100% sure. I can't even imagine how much time that took to make. So thank you so much. We're going to get some pictures up on the Tumblr pretty soon. And a shout out to your husbo, who is back playing RPGs because of the Glass Cannon. Hope you're enjoying it, man. And I hope you're enjoying the burritos that Clara makes while you guys game. From all of us at the GCP, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. Enjoy this time, because it only happens once a year. But you know what happens every week? A new episode of the GCP! So here she is, episode 82, Ogre My Dead Body. Guys, it gives me great pleasure that for the first time we can say this and really mean it. Grant...
I'm Umlo.
Grant is playing Umlo today, finally.
I wanted to say that I'm Umlo, and I'm ready to cook up a big plate of whoop-ass on any other Cyclops that come down the road.
Umlo's a WWE wrestler. Cutting promos on ogres.
Listen to me. Smell what I'm cooking. Listen to me now, Mr. McMahon. I'm coming for you.
Listen to me now, Volstis. You're coming here all tough with all your giants.
And I'm bringing heart spit with me.
Coming to the corner is the Nargrimkins, tag team champions of the world.
So yes, Baron, you finally get to be Umlo. That was a crazy combat. I think you guys played it really well. I said briefly in the middle of it, like, that's one of those combats that when I was reading and then when I was watching, I was like, I want to play in that combat. I want to be a PC that gets to play that. Because when you play these encounters, I think it's really like a puzzle. Do you guys ever think of it as a puzzle? It's like, you know, obviously I'm rolling dice, I want to hit it, but you have to use so much strategy. Like, all right, how can we
spatially,
do this effectively, and how can we do it as a team? And I think you guys did a fantastic job.
It's like a game or something.
Well, almost like a game, yeah. Like a game.
Skid.
That image of Umlo stabbing in with the spear, and just as he's pulling the spear out, Sir Willamette comes riding through with the lance, taking a chunk out of his thigh.
Yes!
Like, it's so visual, and I loved how you guys spread out around it. It really was smart.
I forgot to mention last time one little thing that is cool about his Order of the Shield, because I challenged that creature. My Order of the Shield ability with that is, once he's been challenged, if he attacks one of my allies, I get a bonus to hit him. I get a morale bonus to hit him. So if I see him attack one of my allies, it's just, you're just like, you get more accurate with your hit.
That's cool.
Pretty cool.
That's really cool. So yeah, Umlo gets the final blow, takes this thing down. It had 9 hit points, did enough damage to do it right to its con. It permadies. But speaking of dying, Della, roll a constitution check.
Oh, right.
All right, Della's dead.
We forgot that Della's dead.
14.
So it's, are your hit points minus 4 or less?
My hit points are, no, they're minus 2.
So you stabilize.
You stabilize. What's the DC of that again?
10 plus however many points you are below 0.
Okay,
so DC 12.
She is, however, still invisible.
Here's what I was thinking. What if she was negative 9 and rolled to stabilize and failed and was invisible? Like, we couldn't find her, and she was bleeding out and dying.
I didn't even think about that.
I just thought about that.
Yeah, but we'd be able to see the blood.
Yes.
That's true.
Once we separated from your body.
Oh, how creepy. Yeah. You just see, like, a puddle of blood.
Yeah, just, like, puddle of blood forming from nowhere.
What? And Nestor would be like, well, I guess she disappeared and flew away.
Let's move on.
I would think Nestor would be the one who's like, where is she?
Like, oh, no way. I liked her. She was the only one of you that I actually liked.
Do fetchlings have a different color blood, or is it red?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, all human blood isn't red on the inside.
Well, it's out of you now because you got hammered by a giant.
I did. Stupidly, because I meant to say, like, I'll go invisible and then take a 5-foot step to get in melee, and then I was just excited, so I didn't say it. And so I was like, I'm in the square. I want to walk over to where Della was, her last square, and I want to reach down into the invisible space.
Okay.
Do I feel her?
You do, and it's inappropriate where your hand is.
But he's a celebrity. He can do it.
Bottle cap. Give this guy a bottle cap. My God. Right.
Thank you. All right.
I fumble around. I fumble around and find where I saw her. She was looking at the demon's blood, very fixated on it. I find the demon's blood.
She's invisible.
I'm invisible.
Right, so I'm looking for her pouch on her now that I can touch her.
All right, so you're feeling around and you feel her pouch. Yeah, you feel a vial.
Am I allowed to anoint her? Will it have that effect, or do I have to have that spell prepared?
You have to have the spell.
Yeah, it's a spell, yeah.
Okay. You use the blood as an ingredient of the spell.
Oh, no, I mean, once he finds her, Willamette will come over and, you know, reach down as well.
You see Baron groping at the ground.
Yeah, so Willamette is going to dismount, come over, and then
she's going to only be invisible for another, like, 30 seconds anyway.
Okay. And he will lay on hands on Della. 11 hit points of healing.
Nice.
Della's like,
and I immediately hand her vial. And I say, I don't like it, but you need it.
Thank you,
Barry. See, Joe, if you were more clever, you would say, that is a vile ritual.
Yes,
clever.
If I was,
if you were,
if I was clever, yeah,
I'll start writing you some jokes.
Thank you, thank you.
I'll just hand you a note card. What is the deal with demon's blood?
So Della will use the blood and the extended meta magic wand to give herself fast healing.
Ah, okay.
So 20 hit points.
And just shaking his head.
Nestor kind of slides out of the woods and walks past everybody to the body of the giant and whips out his Johnson. He starts pissing on it.
We haven't even searched that yet.
He pisses on it when he's done, like zips up, buttons up, spits on it, turns around and say, right, now what?
What do Baron and Willamette do when they see this? Anything?
No, I mean, I just think that he's crude, obviously, and don't really care too much. But I'm gonna take.
He wasn't raised right.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a look over the body, do a perception.
Sure.
Natural 1. He's alive.
You're like, you say, this is no halfling.
Umlo rolls a 25 on the body's contents.
All it has is its great axe. It has no belongings on it whatsoever.
Magic great axe or no?
Nope, not a magic great axe. I mean, it is
natural armor.
Huge great axe. Yeah, just all natural armor.
Can we
plus 14 to natural armor?
Oh, Jesus. God. Can the dwarves appraise the axe just to double check just for fun?
Sure.
Natural 20.
It's worth more than a normal great axe, but...
But not much. You know, couple, okay, so we'll leave it here. Pieces,
yeah. It's heavy. For you to carry this thing around,
yeah, it's huge.
Baron goes back to his horse and attempts to revive it to kind of do it and says, Willem, what's my voice? I have two characters now. I don't know which voice it is. Will, could you help me look at the horses, tend to them?
Yeah, so Will, you come over and Umlo and Nestor's horse, pile of ashes. Umlo and Baron's horse are not... There, I mean, they're dying.
Okay.
Della whistles and Reginald comes trotting back.
Right. I'm sure you guys could stabilize them if you want, but they're just like, they're in really bad shape.
Can a horse be healed by a channel?
You can heal it. This is a decision you need.
Yeah.
They're negative one right now if they stabilized.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will channel positive energy.
Nice.
That's good. 9 points of healing for everyone.
Nice. Is anyone else hurt? Will, did you take damage?
Yeah. So I'm thinking I'm going to hit myself with the wand as well.
Okay.
I'm 7 points down if it...
I think we should.
You want some wanding?
Yeah, not a bit of wanding.
So wait, we have two wands now. And yes. Sir Will has one, we said, off air, right?
Yep.
Okay. Did we get a full...
And it has 30 charges left?
30 charges.
And okay. We got a full 51?
Yeah, I have that one.
Okay, cool.
Can you hit me too?
Yeah, give me one second.
That thing had spell resistance 20, Della.
So no hope. Time. Okay, so I won Baron 4, 9.
Excellent. Thank you.
And Nestor 7. Exactly.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Thank you, my love.
Don't call me that.
Right. Keep forgetting. Why do I keep... It's not a mental block. I don't know what it is.
Nestor is now horseless. What would you guys like to do about that? Is Della offering up her saddle?
No.
Baron says, takes off his duster and reveals a t-shirt that says, if you can read this, the bitch fell off, and says, get on the back of my horse. So he offers Nestor to ride along with him.
Okay.
All right. I'm probably fine walking alongside.
Yeah, we're not exactly going at a racing pace here.
The two villagers.
Oh, right. There were two people there.
Yeah, they see, they watch this all cowering behind the trees, watch the entire fight, and they come up to you and say, how did you defeat that thing? I thought we were all dead for sure.
It was the blessings of Iomedai. She was here to help us and guide us against this evil creature. And Umlo and Della are very good at combat.
I've never seen a creature that size, have you?
I have not, no. It is, but we do know we're going into giant infested territory.
Well, thank you for saving us.
Are you from Shimmerman's Fortune?
We are, yes. We were part of a group that was taken by these creatures, and we were able to escape in the night, and we thought for sure we'd make it back until this creature came after us. There are giants everywhere in this area. We've never seen such things.
Where did they take you?
They were bringing us to some place in the distance. We didn't quite hear because we escaped on the first night. But there's another group of villagers, at least a half a dozen. There's at least half a dozen bound villagers. The giants are dragging them downstream in a chain up the river. They've left a sloppy trail. I'm sure they can easily be followed, but there are friends, family with them.
Do we think it's safe for them to go back to the town at this point on their own?
Well, you just came through this area. You know, you were a few hours into your ride before you encountered the Cyclops, so you feel like they'd probably be okay. You
okay.
Didn't see anything else. The danger seems to be ahead, and they're telling you that there were with another group of villagers, which you assume is the rest of the villagers that have been taken, because they said that they took a group of them, children, men, women, livestock, and so this is probably that group, and they're like chained together.
Right.
Being dragged by these giants.
Okay, so we recommend you return at once to Shimmerman's Fortune, right?
Yes.
Shimmerman's Fortune. We will continue on and try to find your friends.
Shimmerman's
Fortune.
I say to them as Baron, you go back to Shimmerman's Fortune and you tell them that the Light of Iomedai, the Sheriff of True Now, the Specter of Death, and a warrior from another world send hope.
I need to write that down. Sheriff?
The Specter of the Sheriff, I believe he said.
Is that right, Baron?
Yes, yes.
Umlo steps up and says, and the Steel Hand will have its revenge.
Do you guys just mind coming and telling us?
We'll text it to you.
Okay, thank you. Perfect. And they go off. So yeah, you just see this body of the Cyclops laying there. You've searched it. It's covered in pee. Huge great axe. And they're telling you the rest of their group has been taken up ahead.
Okay, we'll continue on.
Umlo could use that great axe if he ever drops heart spit.
Oh, right.
It is a huge great axe.
Oh, so it's not a giant size. It's,
no,
it's
not large.
No, never mind. It's huge, yeah.
So do we just leave? These are always questions for these games. So we're just going to leave this body in the middle of the trail, like this huge Cyclops body and a horse?
I was going to leave one of my guns, but put his fingerprints on it and then sprinkle some crack cocaine on him.
Let's just sprinkle some crack on him and get out of here. Johnson?
this thing's, you can just leave it to rot. I mean, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, I mean,
I get it, but like, are you afraid of leaving a trail? Like, there are giant killers out here.
No, but like, you know, being able to pass through, I don't know. It just seems kind of strange.
You want to roll it off the road? Is like it a deer?
Yeah, is it impossible to move it? Is it just that big?
No, you could, with all of you, sure.
We can hang a sign around his chest that says, "Giants go home."
That's good.
Yeah. No, yeah. Seriously.
Abandon all hope, all of you who enter this area.
That's always to giants.
This thicket.
We should prop them up sitting
yeah,
down.
Yeah, no, I like this idea.
Yeah, okay. On the side of the road.
Like a Western, yeah.
All right, I like that. Yeah.
Like
poor Morgan Freeman and Unforgiven.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. So you'll stand him up.
Yeah, so we'll stand him up, put a sign. What? The giant slayers are coming.
Yeah.
The giant slayers are coming. Yeah. That's cool. All right.
Hey, that's the name of this adventure.
Oh, no, what happened for you, Matthew?
I wasn't trying.
I'm going to start removing bottle caps for bad puns.
Well, fortunately, you've got nothing to remove.
I've removed so many. All right. So you guys want to continue up ahead. Darkness is approaching, but you see the trail of the giants. It's pretty easy to follow. If you had a true ranger with you, you'd probably be able to know a little bit more. But
I'd like to roll survival on it if I could, unless it's knowledge nature or something.
You don't even have to. The trail is so obvious.
So we don't need a ranger.
You don't. But, but maybe someone to range ahead.
It'd be nice.
That worked out so well that one time.
You see, like, giant footsteps and footprints, and you see, like... it can only look like things are being dragged, like bodies being dragged along the ground. So maybe the prisoners were slowing the giants down and they had to resort to just dragging them along the ground. It's a pretty gruesome scene. But they're following the path. It's not like they were trying to hide their tracks. I mean, they're giants. They're not afraid of anybody.
Right.
What do you guys want to do? Because you see these tracks are moving forward and its darkness is approaching. So are you going to try and take this... do you want to do any sort of stealth in this situation? Do you want to just keep moving forward and hope for the best and hope you're undetected?
I mean...
Because you feel like...
Like tie up the horses and go in infiltration style?
Yeah, because you got the sense from the villagers that they couldn't be too much farther ahead. You know what I mean? So you're going to encounter them, you would think. So it depends. Do you want to just kind of go up and see what happens? Or do you want to try and get the jump on?
Personally, I'd like to try it under cover of darkness.
Della... surprisingly enough, agrees.
I'm afraid that Lexington and I are far too loud to sneak up on anyone.
So
we could hang back if you'd like to scout.
Umlo and Baron have a 9 and 10 stealth, so we could attempt it, and we could finally abandon Joe in the woods instead of the other way around.
I'd prefer to not be left completely alone, to be perfectly honest.
You'll always have Lexington.
Yes.
Watch out for spiders.
Trusty Lexington.
Watch out for 8-legged cats, okay?
That's not funny.
So, you guys want to split the party a little bit, where some of you who are the less stealthy among you are going to stay behind, and the others will move forward and try and catch whatever the situation is unawares?
Well, Lexington has a pretty significant movement speed, right?
Yeah.
So we could, like, signal back to you every, 50 feet or so that you can approach, right? Like, that we'd stealth ahead. And then if it's clear, we look.
Well, if it's not too dark out, it's up to Troy. I mean, I don't have any.
Nestor said he wanted to wait for darkness, so if you kind of like bide your time.
But I won't be able to see them, is what I'm saying. I think you guys would have to like literally just scout, and we, like maybe Umlo and I wait or something, and you three go.
What I'll do is, every time we want to signal him, I'll take a pull off my cigarillo, and he can find the ember in the darkness and find us. I think Umlo can also stay back. That way, you know, that's one less roll to fail. And that way, it'll also protect Willamette.
Yeah.
All right, so...
split the party.
Split the party. So, Nestor, I'm sure this is your jam, like, under the cover of night.
Yeah.
You want to, like, stealth up there, leading with Della and... Who else?
Baron can go. If a plus 10 sounds like it would work. Yeah.
All right, so you want to go Baron, yeah. Della, and Nestor.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll let you all roll your stealth check. The lowest check is the check we're going with.
Okay.
22.
24. 25.
Whoa.
Awesome job, guys.
Nice. All right.
So Nestor is the loudest.
I'm the loudest.
Oh, wow. It's his bow.
He's pissing on everything he sees as he goes past. That's
anything that's larger than normal.
He's marking his territory, mate.
Della has her scimitar out, but she does not have it on fire.
Ah. Move action to light it on fire?
Standard.
Yeah!
I love rules!
All right, so Nestor, Della, and Baron. Sheriff, little deputy, and... what are you?
The criminal.
Criminal. Right.
The good, the bad, and the one that was in jail.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly. You guys go ahead. Umlo and Sir Will left behind. And you guys eventually see a fire in the distance. A campfire. And you hear... And as you get closer, the grumbling becomes words that you understand.
I don't understand why we can't just eat one of them. We're hungry, we're starving. No, I told you, we will not do that. Let's just roast half of one and we'll save the other half for later. No, that's absurd. We will keep these captives alive to use as a bargaining chip with Gristlecrack.
Gristlecrack. And that just kind of continues. You hear them arguing back and forth. There's one guy who's like seems to be in charge arguing with that. And if you keep moving forward, you see four ogres sitting around a campfire and then beaten, downtrodden humans all chained together, like lying chained to a tree.
Baron turns to Della, and then keeping with our earlier theme, he says... These are some bad hombres. And
they're not sending their best.
Should we try to get Sir Will to charge in as soon as we attack? We could get them unawares while I could fire a gunshot, which would let them know the battle's coming. And he's so valorous that he's going to charge in to save us. He's a brave man. He'll know what to do. And of course, Umlo. Umlo apparently is a stone cold killer, so he'll come in and help us.
Della will also offer to go fully invisible and see if she can pick the lock on the chain.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Well, I like that.
And then just before we start the battle.
Or, can you cast invisibility, or this is something you're just doing?
I can cast invisibility. Also,
why wouldn't you invisible Nestor to pick the lock?
We can both go invisible.
But,
yeah.
He might not care.
It would be, but it's really cool though because we could get a surprise round off and sneak attack will go off. It'll be great.
Yeah. So Della will offer to make us both invisible and go free the hostages to give us an advantage, a tactical advantage of chaos in the camp.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, all right.
I love it.
Okay, so I'm going to use up the wand of invisibility.
Can you make me? Oh, there's only two left.
There's only two left.
Oh.
So you have two charges left.
Well, hold on. Before you cast them, what's the full plan?
Okay. So the two of us go in and unlock, free the hostages. And then Baron shoots off his gun, like he was saying, to draw their attack. And then Will and Umlo charge in.
So how many rounds would it be until I got there? Because I could cover 140 feet in a round.
So assuming they get the jump, which we can't assume. You fail a stealth check and they perception, you're not going to get the surprise round. But assuming combat begins, you guys could get there by round two.
Okay.
This is cooler.
I mean, like, I could be in a position to charge in and maybe attack in round two, or after round two, I will be at the where I can see them.
No, in round two, you would be able, if you want, if your idea was to come charging into the campfire, you could do that in round two.
Got it.
Umlo, if he stayed on his horse, he could try to fight from horseback. That's up to you, Baron, but he's not going to be able, if he just wants to come in and fight the way he wants to fight, it's going to take him extra time.
He's actually probably on Reginald, the best horse, if...
It's going to take him two rounds to get there.
Two rounds to get Umlo.
Yeah, so right. Umlo could start attacking in round three.
Okay, basically. Let's do that. You're not on Reginald.
Because he can run. He can.
I thought we were walking up here.
Oh, that's right. If you wanted...
No, we're going to leave the horses tied up back with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so, Umlo will run on foot 80 feet per round.
Perfect.
So rounds.
So if round one, you guys can all... Della, Nestor, and Baron can be in attacking mode. Round two... Willamette can come slicing in with his lance. Round three, Umlo can join the combat.
Before we use the invisibility rod to free the hostages, who may be safer if they just stay in place and don't run in the way, I'm going to suggest in Baron's voice, I've seen what this nasty customer, Nestor, can do when he has the jump on someone. Maybe we could pick one off entirely if we just take our chances, but... I'll let you guys, it's your lives on the line just as much as mine.
And from where you guys are standing, you see the campfire with these four ogres. And the last time you fought ogres was the courtyard of Red Lake Fort.
Right.
Remember the disgusting
ogres? Yeah, and Willamette has never fought one, I don't think.
And the prisoners are all tied up on the other side of the camp.
So we'd have to invisible ourselves around.
Make around the perimeter.
Stealth checks.
You'd be fine if you're invisible in terms of stealth.
Right.
Yeah. You guys have great stealth, but... Yeah.
I would say if we can, you know, the best bet is to kind of let the chains loose, and then once the combat begins, let them go, and then Nestor can get his surprise round off. You can get your surprise round off, and then we get let them run.
All right.
Yeah.
Once the chaos starts.
Yeah.
Okay, so as soon as I see you guys give me a thumbs up or something, because I have dark vision, I'm going to fire my gun.
So you're gonna stay there. They're going to invisible. You guys should go like on opposite sides around or something.
Yeah.
And then Baron, you're going to stay at the forefront and just kind of, you're going to stay where you are. Or you're going to try and stealth up when they give you the signal.
I'm going to try to stealth up so that I can be within 20 feet.
Okay.
Shall we, Coin?
After you.
She whips out the wand.
Ladies first.
She casts invisibility on Nestor, invisibility on herself.
Boom. All right.
And so she's the wand as she moves.
You guys go invisible and make your way to the hostages.
Yep.
All right. So let's say you guys get there. Your stealth is, you get a plus 40 to stealth. So I'm going to hand wave that. Baron, Della, and Nestor all roll stealth checks. Again, Baron, you're going to be rolling against this ogre here's perception. You guys...
Hold on. I'm sorry. Why is Baron rolling a stealth check?
I'm not moving until they're free. So they do it first. Okay. They do it first. I'm going to move after
they're
free.
So once they're freed, you don't even have to roll stealth unless you want to try and...
I want to try to get within 20 feet so I can really shoot the shit out of this guy before the combat round starts.
Okay, but so what I'm saying is if they release those hostages, they're going to be on alert. Do you know what I mean? If you want to try and catch them unawares, get that surprise round.
So I'm going to turn in my bottle cap on my stealth roll.
All right. Let me see it. I like how you turned it in and put it in your pocket.
Yeah,
you're right. I'll hold it.
You just revealed it.
I'd like to turn this in, puts it in his...
It fell on the ground.
Puts it in his cleavage.
He learned from Tom Exposition.
Do we have to roll to work the lock on the hostages or anything? Or like,
I would say...
It's a disabled device. But it's going to be a low device, yeah. I would think it's a very low DC.
Yeah, I'm not worried so much about the disabled device. I'm worried about the sound of you doing it. Is it going to...
So we have to roll stealth on the process of disabling the device.
Yes.
All right. So who's going to roll first? Let's not all do it at once.
Baron, you roll stealth against this ogre's perception.
That's a 20? The second one?
Nope, just one.
No, he turned the
bottle cap.
Oh, I'm sorry.
20 is the better one.
Good thing you used the bottle cap. Baron is able to get within 20 feet.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
I was so nervous about that roll.
So Baron moves up, no problem. And he's like, he's like leaning against a tree, looking around at the ogre. And that one's just, I don't understand why we can't eat them.
So Della watches Nest, like, from what she's seeing, the lock just kind of lifts up. And it's like, fiddles with it.
Della, roll a stealth. For you to even get into this close position against this ogre's perception check.
So I got a plus 40, right? Or is that what it is?
Oh, you're still invisible, right?
I'm still invisible.
Oh, no, yeah. It's plus 20. It's so plus what's 20. Your stealth?
Plus 10.
So plus 30.
Plus 36.
All right. Nestor, roll your stealth.
Okay.
It's ridiculous for you to do this.
37.
37.
Fine. I rolled a 4.
Rolled a 6.
I rolled a 6.
All right. I'm not even going to worry about the disabled device. You're a trained rogue. You're going to be able to disable the device. But so, as you guys come up, the village is like, What are you doing? You see they have like, one has two black eyes. One is just like slashed above the neck.
Ugh.
There's a little young girl there among them. There's a couple of men. There's a handful, half a dozen of these people. And they're all in various states of like, Beta, are you here to save us?
What was the name of the alderman that we, the alderman?
Tamerman. Tamerman Shinnerman.
No, the one we talked to in...
Oh, the alderman. The woman was Kraya Straum, and the man was Jurak.
So can I whisper that... You know,
Straya. Straya Kraum. Straya and Jurak.
Straya and Jurak sent us?
Oh my god, Straya and Jurak. So they lived.
They lived. Quiet.
Shh.
I say, yeah, it's like, keep your fucking mouth shut or we're all dead.
He says that to the little, girl. okay, yes, you don't understand, they'll kill you, they've threatened to kill us, that one right there wants to eat us. What's your plan? There's a man that's clearly like the strongest, the alpha of the group.
Baron just needs a thumbs up, unless you guys...
I still, we're invisible. Like, I don't know. We're kind of like, how do they even know if the, we're
yeah,
talking?
You're not gonna get it.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
You're going to see pandemonium and then.
Yeah. Or an arrow from old Jolta suddenly hits.
That could, you could see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the signal.
I think that's the signal.
You guys get over there and notice they're all chained leg to leg.
So they all have to
they
run.
They all have to do that. So you can release one of them or something as a patsy to run through there. But like, what's more important?
The girl.
You want the pandemonium.
Yeah.
I understand that. You could effectively like, cha-ching. Cha-ching, cha-ching. But the more stuff you do, you know, you...
Yeah. The more rolls.
Yeah. I'm not going to make you roll 10 different things. Just tell me what you want to do.
I look to the thief, who is invisible.
Yeah. I just start, like, unlocking them all.
Okay. So Nestor just moves along the line. Ta-tunk, ta-tunk, ta-tunk.
And to each of them, ta-tunk. They say, you know, this invisible thing, like, moving past, they say, when you see me, run.
which way? Which way?
Run. I don't fucking care where.
Away.
My mummy says those are bad words.
Your mummy's bright. I hope to meet her one day.
Can I light the scimitar on fire while I'm invisible? As long as I don't attack, right?
You're pushing your luck, Della.
All right.
All right.
So Nestor moves along the line, unloads all of them, and then what does Nestor do?
Once they're all free, he lines up the ogre closest to him with old Jota. Yeah, and takes a shot.
Roll for initiative.
All right.
So Della, Baron, and Nestor all get a surprise round. All right. It's a battle against the ogres again. all right, who's got over 20?
22.
21 for Della.
All right. Oh man, Nestor's gonna get some attacks off. Yeah, don't forget Umlo. All right, anybody above 15?
Umlo actually has he rolled an 18 on it. I don't know.
So he has 20.
20.
20, okay.
And Baron has an 18.
Baron has an 18. Willamette, Sir Will?
16.
16 for Sir Will. Oh,
nice rolls.
You guys all get the jump on the ogres.
Sweet.
They had a collective 10. All right, surprise round for Nestor, Della, and Baron. You guys get either one move action or one standard action. Nestor, you go first. So it worked out perfect.
I'm going to shoot the ogre across the fire closest to Baron.
Ah, all right. Shoot so through the fire. This is great.
Oh, this is so awesome.
23 to hit.
Oh, you hit.
And
remember, this is all against their flat-footed.
Oh, yes!
23 damage.
I mean, I could just see this whole thing. It really is, after the Cyclops sign, it really is like a Western. You're sneaking up on them around a campfire.
Exactly.
Get around them, and then just start shooting.
23 damage, and make a DC 15 fortitude save.
What?
What?
What did you tell me to do? 14.
All right. The sneak attack that Nestor does with old Jota is so precise as to cause such incredible blinding pain that the ogre is sickened for 3 rounds.
Oh, man!
Awesome.
And I should say, like, even though it's darkness, the light of the campfire is providing enough light for you guys to attack. So unless they move way out of range of this, it's not going to be a problem for any of you. Surprise round, Della.
And he didn't even see where that came from, really. It's out of the darkness.
Yes, it's like,
and right when Nestor does that, all of them start running in every rich direction. One of them grabs a little girl and runs off right there. The ogres look around. Della.
Okay, tell me, this is a question. If I cast Grease, that does not make me visible, right?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Della's going to cast Grease under the square of this ogre.
So that's not considered an attack?
It's not. I mean, it's...
No, I don't. I think if you do it under his legs, it would be considered an attack.
Yeah, you're not...
I'll allow it. Yeah. Okay. I'll allow it.
Della casts Grease. So a 10-foot square of Grease. Let's say it's like partially under him so he doesn't notice that he's suddenly standing on Grease.
You know what ogres don't have? Great reflex things. All right, so what's the DC?
It's probably about 14.
It's like 14...
It should be. It's a level 1 spell, right?
What'd you roll?
Rolled a 14.
Oh.
Minus 2 to reflex saves.
Yeah, it's definitely higher than 12.
So
it's your intelligence bonus plus 1. Your intelligence.
So it's a DC 14.
Yeah. Yep, so I failed.
Yeah.
14 minus 2 is so. All right, Baron, surprise round.
Baron looks at the ogres and says, "For Abria."
Nice.
Oh, little girl.
He fires both barrels of his pistol into the ogre in front of him.
That's you only get one action.
That's a standard action.
That's a standard action. Do both.
Pull both pistol. Minus 4 to hit, right?
That's a hit.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, touch flat-footed, forget it.
Yeah, seriously.
Second attack, I'll roll
its
damage.
AC is like 6.
That's a hit. So that is...
Oh, boy.
That is 28 points of damage.
Let me explain to you what happens. Nestor, clink, 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 unlocks all of them, fires old Jolter. Seconds later, Baron just, boom, boom, exploding head of the ogre. Dead.
God.
Surprise round to the best.
Oh, he didn't even get to fully experience the pain that I gave him.
Round 1, Nestor goes again.
Nice.
You got 1 falling in Grease, and then 2 here by the fire, still alive. And they're just like, what is going on? Who's Abria?
I'm going to take a couple of shots at the one nearest me. That's a hit, and that is 22 damage. Make a fortitude save.
Oh, jeepers. 22, make a fortitude save. Made it. Nope. 15. Yeah, made the fortitude.
And second attack... miss.
All right, so you said 22 damage?
Yeah.
There's Nestor. This is your cup of tea.
God, I love rogues.
We forgot. Oh, you don't get sneak attack damage on that first one, right? For catching him flat-footed?
No, I did. That's why he had to make the fortitude save.
Oh, all right. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Is that the first time you got to use sneak attack damage?
No, I've done it before, but it's only ever happens when I'm acting at the top of the round because I never get a chance to hide.
For like the last month, he's been like, how do I get a sneak attack in this situation?
That's good, Rogan. All right. One lands true, does serious damage. Della.
Della is going to cast long arm. And move up into melee with the one that's on the ground.
That'd be really funny if anyone could see it.
Still invisible. Yeah, no one can see it.
Still invisible, long arm with an unlit scimitar.
Oh, swift action. Keen it, shock it.
Keen it, shock it, swiftly. All right, Umlo, round 1, you just make your way closer to the board. Baron.
Baron is going to step right into the light of the fire so that the ogres can see him.
Okay.
Nice.
So 20 feet?
Yeah, it's just within 20 feet of the next ogre.
Got it.
And he's going to say, now is the time. Let me get Baron's voice. Playing Umlo is so confusing.
I ask so little of people. Oh, it must be really tough to play more than one character. So sorry to hear that. Guys are struggling with this.
Now is the time of your reckoning, boy.
Yeah.
And he does a...
I'm Umlo.
He again is going to fire both barrels at him.
Nice.
That is a...
It's probably a hit.
It's a hit. It's a...
Just roll the 10. Damage, Baron.
Yeah.
17 points nice. Of damage. Woo! Second barrel.
Yeah.
Also a hit. 16 points of damage.
Nice.
Dead. Yeah. Boom, boom. Dead ogre.
Oh, man.
One is greased. One is still alive. Two are dead. And it is... Well, I had all these ogres that were going to do something, and now they're all dead. This one here will stand up, attempt to stand up.
How far did Umlo get and Willamette?
Yeah, Sir Willamette is before the ogres,
correct? I'm sorry.
It's okay, so for that round, he's riding close.
Yeah, so
because he heard the gunshot.
And Umlo should have gone before Baron.
I said Umlo made it closer, so okay. It takes him until round three, which so now, will be longer.
Yeah, so Umlo goes 80 feet, and then... Lexington and Sir Will go blowing by.
So you're on the board.
Yep, I'm right at the edge of the board.
Sir Will. And, all right, so this one is going to attempt to stand up in the grease. Do I have to roll another reflex save?
Acrobatics.
Acrobatics.
DC 10 acrobatics.
Well, there's one thing ogres can do. It's acrobatics. This guy was actually in the Ogre Olympics. He was really good on the pommel.
He was a high jumper.
Oh, solid -4 to the acrobatics check, and I rolled a 2. Whoop, whoop,
whoop. Well, technically, he has to make a reflex save. Now, to see if he falls.
He already did.
No, he rolled acrobatics to try to stand up and fail. That means he can't move this round. Now he makes a reflex save to see if he falls again. But he's on the ground.
He was already to the ground.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
When you fail the initial reflex save for grease, you fall, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but then but standing up is not difficult. It's just moving again is.
Damn.
Grease is a little bit confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just say he stayed on the ground.
He's on the ground.
What happens is, all right, say he stood up for free, then I failed the reflex save to, like, move.
He's flailing around on the ground.
But it'll try to attack while on the ground. So what is it, -2 to attack?
Against what?
Oh, yeah, you're not there. all right, did you want to take an attack opportunity as it tried to stand up?
Sure.
All right.
All right.
Then it'll attack it.
Yeah.
Got right in my trap.
Ooh, no. Natural 1.
Oh, no.
See how he goaded you into that attack of opportunity?
Got to confirm.
No, confirm.
I don't have multiple attacks.
Yeah, he's not level 8 yet.
You're not going to pass that
one by right.
Again, not till level 8 does Della get to confirm.
Rumbling, fumbling, bumbling. All right, melee fumble from old Della Narn. You want to mess with demon's blood? You got to fumble.
Armor smash. Your attack deals damage to your armor.
Oh,
roll damage.
So you roll your damage to your armor.
It's against the hardness of the armor, right?
Yeah.
We can figure this out later.
Yeah, keep going.
Whether or not this will be damaged. Just roll the damage.
It probably won't do anything. So
it's 3d6. Oh, no, it's 2d6 plus 4.
Oh.
9 damage.
You're probably fine.
Yeah, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going and all the
All right. Yeah, just know what the hardness is, if it's broken or not. If it took more than 50% of its nerd edge. all right, so now it will, of course, try to swing at you. So it's going to be a 22.
-4.
-4, so 18?
Miss.
All right.
Well, provided the armor's not damaged.
I will say it's not damaged.
Yeah, it's not damaged.
Misses. The other one, all it sees is Baron by the fire. Good. It's got plenty of movement speed.
What's it swinging, a club?
Swinging a great club at Baron the Gunslinger. That is going to be a 22, Baron.
Miss.
What?
What? Giant Subtime.
Oh, Giant Subtime.
You're good, Baron. You're good.
These ogres are terrible. All right. Round 2, Nestor.
So am I in the darkness? Can I hide?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm gonna make a stealth.
There's a tree right there you can sneak behind.
So I got a 30 stealth.
Yep, they can't see you.
Okay, so, I'm gonna take a couple of shots, I think.
All right.
Bugger. 21.
21 hits. And this is, you're shooting at this one, not the one on the ground.
Yeah, not the one on the ground.
The one that's right next to Baron.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. 20 points of damage.
And you kill that one.
Nice. Nice.
Baron, this one comes up to boom, swings, misses, and then you just see an arrow come through its head.
Would you mind making the fortitude save? Just there's something I want to do.
Okay. Made it.
Okay, then that's fine.
Save that thing. I bet you it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, Nestor, you've got another shot. Do you want to try and shoot at
the one that's
prone?
Yeah, I'm going to shoot at the other dude.
+4 to your AC. Okay.
So 21, 22. 22 to hit.
22 hits.
Okay. And 25 damage.
25
damage. And fortitude save.
All right. Failed.
Nice. So you... gotta get up. You are sickened for one round.
Okay, and what did you want to do if I failed?
No, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
Because he didn't die. Yeah. Okay, and so it is Della's turn.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Della's going to spell combat. Spell strike.
Go for it.
It's a 19 to hit.
Hit. Oh, it's good. Does it get a bonus to its AC? No.
Minus to melee AC, bonus to range.
Definite
AC.
Hit. Definite hit.
Okay, so that's the spell strike damage.
Look at him grinning over there.
I'm just going to sit down.
32 damage.
Oh my god.
Shocking grass spell strike.
I'll stop you there. Just the force of the electricity of the scimitar just slices it in twain, and you kill all four ogres.
Oh, awesome.
Good thing Sir Willamette was there.
Yeah. Will comes riding in afterwards.
I had a shot.
And I see her four bodies of ogres around this fire.
Well done, Sheriff. Very impressive.
We've learned a little bit about the art of war since we're actually been fighting one for so long now. I appreciate your comments, knowing that you're a trained paladin and cavalier.
What happened here? Where are the prisoners?
You see, various sacks around the fire, around the camp, probably belonging to the ogres, and then the villagers, like, all eventually come out from hiding. You see now there were three older men, and a young girl, two women, and another man.
Thank you. How did you dispatch them so quickly? That could have only been two rounds.
Nestor steps into the firelight out of the darkness.
It's like my old dad used to say. The bigger they are, the more fun it is to kill them.
Love it.
If anyone's interested, the chain shirt did not take damage. It is mithril, so it has a hardness of 15.
The chain shirt is a fan favorite, and people would lose their minds if it died.
I know. I was really worried.
15 hardness. That is awesome.
That's great.
So let's gather everyone up around the campfire and talk to them.
Yeah, they're all pretty bruised.
And search the bags.
Search their bags.
Yeah. No, I search his wallet.
The ogre's bags.
That's mine.
You guys got to pay protection if you want to be safe from these ogres. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, seriously. Nestor is Zarny.
So
the three older men, actually it's two older men and a younger boy, but they're all together. They explain they're prospectors. They do business in Shinnerman's Fortune, and they happen to be there, but they don't actually live in Shinnerman's Fortune. The other four people, the young girl, the two women, and the man, are from Shinnerman's Fortune, and they're all pretty bruised and beaten up. The girl, luckily, is not harmed.
Thank you so much for saving us. I can't believe you were able to dispatch of them so quickly. We didn't know what they were going to do for us. They kept saying they wanted to bring us for some tribute or something.
Where? Did they say where they wanted to bring you? Did they say a name?
And then a middle-aged woman, one of the women comes up. She's like, I recall them saying about a meeting at a cathedral, the Tinder Hall? They said that they were bringing us to a gathering at the Tinder Hall.
Can I roll Knowledge Local?
Sure.
I'll do it as well.
Me too.
Say, 22. 23.
19.
16.
You,
15.
Baron.
26, sorry.
Baron and Nestor are like, I think she's confusing this. She must mean Minder Hall.
Yes. All right, ma'am. Thank you for that information. I'm glad that you don't have to go there, but we're headed there. And we've already met some other members of Shinnerman's Fortune, rescued them from other danger. And I need you to go back and help the town rebuild, heal, and again, let them know that we are continuing our journey and that there is hope.
There's at least one, a young boy steps up. You should know there's at least one more band of giants that went on ahead with more of us. More of us taken as prisoners.
I was going to say, Shinnerman is not among these people, is he?
If you ask, they're like, no, we're not sure if Alderman Shinnerman was among those taken. They were all bound, gagged, and had leather sacks tied over their head. And the young boy is like, I can't imagine any of them are alive. I kept hearing conversations about not wanting to be late for the mustering of an army for the storm tyrant, Gristlecrack, the storm tyrant. They were mustering an army for Gristlecrack, the Storm Tyrant, and they didn't want to be late.
Yeah. Willamette looks inquisitively at Della and Baron. That name doesn't seem to match up.
I saw it. It was the largest giant I ever saw. They didn't realize, but my sack wasn't tied all the way over my head, and I saw it was the largest giant storm tyrant.
You saw this. What's the name?
Grizzlecrack.
Grizzlecrack? Grizzlecrack.
Biggest giant I have ever seen.
Did anyone say the name Volstis?
Volstis? No, I never heard the name Volstis.
What color was this giant's skin?
Blue.
Blue.
Blue is the sky.
He called himself...
I'm not good at metaphors.
Well, you're young yet. You've got a long life ahead
of
you.
I'm just a simple prospector.
Blue is a blue pair of pants.
Well, that was actually a simile, so you're extra terrible. What color skin are blue giants against?
Frost giants.
He said that another band of people that were hooded were taken.
More prisoners, more villagers, presumably, were taken ahead by another band of giants.
Were they taken by creatures like these? And he references the ogres on the ground. Or did they look different?
They all looked like giants. They were large, large creatures.
I say, do you have any idea why they separated? Were they moving faster? Do you think they wanted to do something different with you than they did with the people with the bags over their heads?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on. They took so many of us, and then everything just got split up. When Shinnaman's fortune got attacked, the giants just all came in and took one group from here, one group from there. We were just among that group, but this group split up, and they went with this Gristlecrack up ahead.
You think Gristlecrack is trying to call himself the Storm Tyrant, or are they just mishearing?
It's pretty clear they're not getting the facts straight. One of them saying that Gristlecrack took him up there. One of them said it's rumors. Gristlecrack. So it's not quite clear, and they're obviously pretty shaken as well.
You know,
but Taram Shinnerman isn't with them, and they assume that the prisoners that were taken ahead were probably dead because they were being beaten and assumed they were going to be eaten.
I'm thinking that perhaps Storm Tyrant is an honorific title given to the leader of the giants, whoever wins. And in the same way that Grenzeldeck was like trying to get his favor and was shunned away, perhaps Gristlecrack is a rival that's trying to get the title from Volstis.
Yeah, that's so what I was thinking too. But I was thinking too, but they could just be confused.
Right.
They could just be saying we're going to the mustering where the Storm Tyrant will be and these people are tribute to him. Gristlecrack right. is bringing these captives there.
They're so excited to be alive too. They're all like talking over each other, and you guys gotta keep saying please one at a time.
Yeah, listen. All due respect, but you're all bloody useless, and you're just muddying the waters at this point. Why don't you just head back?
Is it safe? Is it safe to walk back alone?
Oh, I'm certain it is. Go ahead.
We could also.
All right. He seems trustworthy.
We could also rest for the night here by this fire. We don't need to.
And they can go daytime. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they can leave in the day. I don't think they should be trying to find their way back in the darkness.
Just take a lift past a crazy looking cyclops with a sign around his neck.
But then at least we can protect them overnight. Unless you believe we need to keep moving through the night to find the next group.
This is a good a place as any to rest.
Okay, so we didn't get the sense that they were like, they're 500 yards over there. Like, they're gone for the time.
And also, if you look at your map, you can see that if you keep moving at the pace that you're moving...
Are we heading towards Minderhall's Valley?
You're heading towards Minderhall's Valley. You could get there tomorrow.
Okay, great. Well, let's
assuming
rest.
Assuming that it exists and it's there.
Yeah.
Okay. We should get the horses.
Oh, yeah.
You go back...
They'll be fine.
You go back and they're all dead. No, I'm kidding.
You played that really.
That was really good.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say they're all dead with the wound markings of an eight-legged cat all over
them. I've seen this before.
With the notes hung around their necks, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, the eight-legged cats are coming.
I know what you did in the cottage.
I know what you did.
Baron turns to Nestor and says, well, buddy, you've earned yourself another day's pay. Let's loot these bodies.
Oh, you're speaking my language now, my friend.
All right, so
is
look,
everything about money with you?
No, not everything. It's also, a lot of it is about what money can buy.
You look through the sacks and you find a set of fine china, a gold censer with platinum inlays, a gold flute. It looks like a very precious gold flute worth a lot of money. And 600 gold pieces in assorted coins.
Oh, yes.
And something that jumps right out to Baron and Umlo.
Eight-legged cat.
An eight-legged cat. A raccoon.
Ah, God, my eyes.
This is... A small marble statuette of Torag.
Oh, okay.
Very expensive.
Umlo says, growing up with Ingrahild, she kept a statuette just like this in our parents' home. It is good to see again on this weary road.
And Umlo takes it.
Yeah.
Puts it in his satchel.
This is like China belong to the people that are with
us? No. There's no way to know that.
Sorry, Nestor's going to step in.
No, this could have come from anywhere. Find his keepers.
It was clearly robbed from the villagers that we just passed.
No clear evidence that it belonged to them.
Who offered us room and board.
It's ours now.
We must return it to them.
They'd want us to have this for the services that we're providing.
Well, why don't we ask them?
Tell me, assassin.
No, we don't want to bother them.
Do you really like to come to sneak up on your enemies with you know, a set of china in your pockets?
No, clink, I'm not saying I'll carry it. I mean, he should carry it. But I'm just saying, again, if the vote of the company is against me, I'll do whatever you like. I'm just saying, this just makes sense to me.
Your opinion is noted. Let's sleep on it. We'll re-examine in the morning.
Excellent.
For several hours.
Everyone go to sleep, yes.
That's perfect.
All right, so you guys rest for the night, and the villagers rest with you. They feel obviously much safer leaving in the morning, traveling by the light of day to get back to the slowly rebuilding Shinnerman's fortune. So, heal, get your spells, blah, blah, blah. You wake up, and you continue on your journey. You go back and get your horses, obviously. Water them.
Before we leave, Sir Will goes to the boy and just dismounted. He's like slightly shorter than him. Mm-hmm. And he walks up to him, puts a hand on his shoulder, and he says, have faith. Be brave. We are going to fight this threat. And one day, you will grow strong and defend the good people of the world.
Of course, and then Nestor stops, like, after he leaves, and says, of course, there's always a chance that you could die of some disease before you even reach adulthood. And he just walks off.
He makes a good point.
Nestor.
So you guys continue onward, and, you know, that stream that you guys were following.
Can it be a light rain outside today?
That would be so lovely, sound-wise.
Sure, during the afternoon it rains, but then it stops by 4 p.m.
He's gone mad with the power over the weather.
Yeah. You know what? 3:30. Don't toy with me.
Want to go for 3 o'clock?
I never get to use the light rain.
So you've been following a stream for a while. That when you first were at the cottage with the troll and the baby and the Ormvorax, you know that you found that stream in an overgrown footpath that allowed you to move faster. Well, when that stream led straight into Shinnerman's fortune, it would make sense. It's a town of prospectors. They would build the settlement around a stream. So you've been following that along the path pretty much the whole way. And soon the stream begins to get wider and rougher, and it eventually turns into a river. And there's a well-trodden path right next to it.
Are we going downstream or upstream?
You're going downstream.
Okay.
And you would think, like, just looking at the footprints are going in all directions, but there's footprints coming the way you're going, so most likely these giants came this way to sack Shinnerman's fortune, sack the cottages. Eventually, the mountains around you begin to rise up and get larger and larger, several mountain peaks all starting to connect as you descend into a valley.
Oh, man.
La Valley?
This is so...
As you descend into La Valley.
Talk about a valley of death. I don't think we're all making it out of here alive. That's my guess.
I would say probably not. As the canyon stretches out before you, you just look up. And, I mean, I can imagine Sir Will being so small. These mountains are just, they look like the fallen fossils of giants from long ago. You know what I mean? You all see this and just...
Is it beautiful?
It's beautiful, but you know, you feel a little closed in as well, but it's so majestically beautiful. And you're following the stream into the valley, and they're stretching, you know, eventually thousands of feet high. Streams are all running down from the mountains as well, and they're like, you know, ice, probably the icy mountaintops are melting and feeding into river.
It sounds beautiful, and yet the music is telling us it's
deadly.
No, it's that wasn't the intention. This is it's
that's good though.
This
no,
is a
good.
Nicer music set.
It's good.
It's
soon they, there's dread in this situation.
There's an ominousness to it, knowing what we're about to face.
You guys descend into the valley, and eventually it becomes nightfall, and you decide to camp.
Oh, again, okay.
Yeah, it's so it's now another day. I've actually been tracking all of these days for good. The first time. I've never done. I've got a calendar. I'll share it with you at some point. A pale moon struggles to peek through the heavy clouds that have gathered over the jagged peaks that hem the secluded valley. As the temperatures quickly begin to drop upon nightfall, the vestiges of the ancient mountain trail become nearly impossible to identify in the darkness. So you choose to call it a night, as it were. What's everybody doing now that you have reached what very well could be Ninderhall's Valley?
Della has Galabras' star knife out. Is just sharpening it.
Nest is just fletching a couple of arrows and singing quietly to himself.
Sir Will is talking to Umlo during this walk. You know, he says, you've been very impressive in these fights so far. It's my understanding you were a cook.
I was a cook until fate took everything I had away from me. And the suffering I felt in those pits, it feels good to unleash upon a new enemy.
I heard of your bravery in those pits, and I know that fighting there is fighting for your very survival, especially fighting against animals. It's a barbaric thing that they do to you and to the animal. I wish that it hadn't happened, but it has. We must move forward, but I believe that you could be a great warrior. You've fought animals, and when you fight animals, you fight like an animal. You must learn to fight like a trained martial artist with that spear. I'd like to help you. I grew up training this way, and I think that if we work together, I could help you find the weak spots in these giants' armor.
I'd appreciate the help. Anything I could do to exact more vengeance would be welcome, but I want to caution you as well. I've seen your reservations around the infernal healing that Della uses, and I do want to caution you that at all costs, we must show no mercy to these giant monsters.
I understand.
And, you know, it's not like they're going to do full training sessions, but just tips, pointers here and there, maybe if Umlo's up for it, just before rest, do an hour of like, practice.
What's Baron doing?
Baron is by himself reading from the holy text of Torag. And just trying to steel himself, and he's thinking about how he almost, you know, took a last name with the steel hand and he didn't. He has an inkling of he might be a member of this Manus clan, but he's feels that if he redoubles his efforts and faith towards Torag, he will guide him to his true heritage and his name. And he thinks that this valley is where he will find it. Whether or not he lives long after he finds it is another story, but he redoubles his effort in an attempt to know, finally.
And as you guys, you know, prepare for the end of the night, you know, you're setting up camp, maybe Della's starting the fire, Baron reading, and Umlo and Will training or whatnot, you can begin to settle down. Umlo hears a voice off in the woods as he's idling by himself.
Umlo. Umlo. Are you there?
Do I recognize the voice?
It sounds like Ingrahild.
Umlo. It's me, Ingrahild.
What foul trickery is this?
No. I'm alive.
I burnt you. I burnt you in the tomb of our ancestor. No. I'll not be tricked.
No.
This is not a sorcery that I will fall for.
No, Umlo, you must understand. I am alive in spirit only. Please, come to me.
Umlo points the spear at the ground as he walks,
and he takes the stone statue of Torak he just found and holds it, which reminds him of his sister, and he rolls a sense motive as he goes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a 15.
Oh, I see. You have my statue. The same statue that I had on my chest of drawers my entire life.
Whoa.
I can't wait to see you again. Yes, keep walking.
And Umlo, for a moment, believes that the spirit of Ingrahild is 15 to 20 feet away. See you next week.
I don't know if I believe it.
It's a wigger. It's a wigger, right?
God, it's a fucking eight-legged cat. I know it.